Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Zoe Miras. Welcome, Zoe.
Hi, how are you?
Great to have you. Let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for this day and for your many blessings. Help us this day to grow in our obedience and understanding of your will for us. We ask this through Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Zoe, great to have you. Now, Zoe, you are married to a very famous man, Alec Miras, who is our social and digital media guy here at the diocese. And you also teach in public school as well. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm a math teacher.
Up at Westerville.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, you know, as we begin this conversation, it's always good to kind of hear your story of how you came to know the Lord. So maybe you could share that with us. I do know you were raised Catholic.
Yes.
And grew up in a Catholic home. But maybe you could share with us your story.
Sure. My mom and dad are both Catholic. They raised my brothers and I to be Catholic in the sense of we completed our sacraments, but everything after that was completely our decision. So they didn't push us to go to Mass. They didn't push us to partake in the faith. They were very open in saying we can believe whatever we want to believe. So their guidance was there, but not on the Catholic path. So when I got to college, I realized that something was missing. I've always been very academic, very perfectionist, very career driven. But in college, I found that I needed something more stabilizing. And I don't really know how I got there. It just kind of showed up in my day-to-day life. And I was blessed to live with girls who were partaking in our campus ministry. We had a non-denominational faith-driven organization on our campus that just met weekly, had small groups, Bible studies, discipleship pairings, and the girls in my dorm invited me into that, so I went with them, found the Lord that way. And it wasn't until after college when my husband and I met that we started talking about going back to the Catholic faith. He was really interested in the faith, really liked the traditionalism of it and understanding the why behind the faith. So he actually initiated our movement back to the church, and he's not Catholic, so he converted to the faith, and we got married, and we've really established our roots in the church now as adults, and having that understanding of where the Lord is and how he moves us to the kingdom of heaven it's been good.
Excellent. Now, as I would, a couple, I guess, questions, you know, to kind of flesh out your story. So, you know, before you went to college, where'd you go to college?
I went to Otterbein University.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. So as you know, like as you were kind of leaving high school and going into, university, had you kind of lost your faith or were you, still maybe marginally practicing the Catholic faith or?
I don't know that I would say I lost it. I knew God was there. I would say that I prayed. I would say that I knew the gospel and that piece of the faith. And I would go to church, go to Mass by myself every so often, but it was never a practice, nothing consistent, not at all a habit. But I knew, something in me knew that that's what I should be doing. So I was doing it occasionally, but not with any regularity.
Yeah. So when you went to Otterbein and there was this sort of ecumenical, non-denominational campus ministry, was there sort of an experience that you had, maybe an encounter experience with the Lord?
I would probably say, it's kind of a funny story. We were in our dorm and I was talking to a friend and explained to her, hey, I know something is missing in my life. And she, weirdly enough, was kind of like, do you think it's God? Like, do you think you're missing your faith? And I was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's what it is. And somebody just explicitly pointing it out to me enlightened me to the fact that that specifically was what was missing. But then we followed up that experience by going to our campus ministry meeting and just the prayer and worship, seeing everyone around you practice a faith and practice their relationship with the Lord publicly. I think that's what got me initially, is it wasn't just something internal. It wasn't this quiet relationship that I held in my heart, but rather something that is community driven, that's relationally driven outside of myself. It's really a community faith and not just a Zoe faith.
Yeah. Did the so in that process then, was there kind of a discipling that you went through?
Yes, it was very informal. The group that I was a part of would pair upperclassmen with underclassmen and then had kind of a curriculum that we walked through, and a lot of it's driven out of your own experiences. But I found that I'm a learner on my own. So I was taking in a lot of information and then taking it to discipleship and saying, hey, I want to talk about this, or I want to learn more about this hymn or this piece of scripture. How can we do that? And that helped a lot.
Excellent. If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship, and I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Zoe Miras. Zoe, you mentioned that your parents kind of gave you maybe, we might say, like a long leash, or, you know, like basically for you to kind of freely engage your own, you know, your own faith. And I'm wondering, you know, like as an expectant mother, what is kind of your model for parenting when it comes to the faith based on your own experience?
My husband and I have definitely talked a lot about this. It's something where I think we're just going to have a contained Catholic home. That sounds kind of silly, but if we can carry out our own faith in such a way that enables our kids to do the same thing, that would be ideal. I don't want to position my kids to make their own decisions outside of the church, but rather make their decisions within the church based on the knowledge that we share with them and the knowledge that they gain through church and through Mass, so that they can know the Lord in their own way and come to know other people, but not necessarily have to experiment before finding their way home.
If we go a little deeper in this, because as a teacher, too, you have a certain, you know, and it's almost like a pedagogy, you know, like, I mean, granted, parenting is not equivalent to teaching, but there are, you know, there are different pedagogical styles, mm-hmm. and as there are different kind of parenting styles. But it seems like what you bring up is like almost like they need a tradition to process the world in, which a lot of people like say, like the classical model of education is you kind of help people to understand sort of the classical approach to civilization, which then gives them a background, a basis to dialogue with the world. So I don't know if do you see parallels? I mean, as a math teacher, there is sort of a, you know, like a corpus. You have to...
Yes, there's definitely formulas to it. A lot of what happens in school now is we create a framework for our students to learn within. So it's more of a, here's your safe environment. Here's the content that we're learning. How can you explore that and discover that knowledge on your own within that framework of understanding or within that framework of content? And I think parenting is a lot of the same thing. You can create the Catholic framework for them, and then they can explore the different aspects of that, saints and sacraments, the Eucharist, encountering the Lord through music or through art, but setting the boundary of this is where our family is, and this is how we're going to learn, and here's our content. Now, what pieces of that do you want to learn or do you want to explore? And it's kind of the same approach I take in class with math. The content is very rigid, but there are lots of ways to solve one problem. And I think that's the biggest parallel for me, the multiple paths leading to the same place.
It reminds me in math. Now, I, of course, always did what my math teacher told me to do, you know, which, of course, you have to write out the entire how you solve the problem, which drives a lot of students mad because they might know the answer for however reason. They might think they know the answer, mm-hmm. but they always get in trouble because they don't write out the problem and the, you know, how they solved it. And I do think like there is a certain parallel, like in growing up and in being formed that, you know, we may as young people, we may think that we know the answer and we may even actually have the answer, but there is a sense where we need to kind of prove that we've come to this answer in the right way. And that sort of parental guidance, you know, is still a key point, even when we think maybe we have the answer.
Yes, I think there's a lot of different ways to prove that you have the answer. I find in class, some kids are much better at talking it out. So they can explain it to me verbally, but they might not be able to write it down. And for me, that's enough of a demonstration. Or they can draw a picture to show their work instead of necessarily showing the math step by step. Or they can teach it to somebody else. I think with kids, we can do that too as parents. Like, hey, can you explain the gospel to me? What pieces do you know? What are you still confused on? Or can you draw me a picture of the Eucharist and have them explain those pieces? And it changes a lot with age as kids learn to communicate. That definitely helps their explanations. But with younger kids, thinking of ways for them to show pictures or build models or demonstrate understanding through music and art would be a great way for them to demonstrate their faith as well.
Excellent. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Zoe Miras. We're going to continue this conversation. And until next time, peace and all good.
Let us pray together the St. Michael prayer for our families.
St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the divine power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who roam throughout the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.